my pleasure to introduce to you at this time Reverend James McDaniels, Counselor for Black Ministry of the Board for Mission Services of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, well known to most all of you, I'm sure. He is a graduate of Christ Seminary and of Concordia Seminary. He has served as assistant pastor and pastor at a number of congregations, Our Saviors in the Bronx, New York, Trinity in Jamaica, New York, Hope in Omaha, Nebraska. He has also served as project director for the Commission on Black Ministry of the Nebraska District, and as noted earlier, has served as counselor for Black Ministry of the Board for Mission Services. What, past 3 years? 4 years. He has been giving and continues to give sensitive and bold leadership to the Synod and its congregations, always seeking to broaden the vision and to strengthen the stakes at the same time. So would you welcome again Reverend McDaniels.
Good morning. It's good to see so many of you out this morning, bright and early. While attending the seminary, one of the things I used to try to avoid like the plague was to get up to attend a class before 9 o'clock. So I guess this is payback time for all those times that I try to avoid this wicked hour of the morning. Although since leaving the seminary, I have really become a morning person. I like to get to the office as early as possible. Like this morning, I was working at the office trying to catch up on messages as well as correspondence and leave some work for my secretary as early as 5:30. And I was not alone. There were three other executives who were in the office at that ungodly hour working away. Today, I would like to share with you on the topic which I believe is very important to all of us as we look at ways in which we can more effectively witness and share the gospel of Jesus Christ to the many thousands of people, particularly in black communities, but in all communities here in North America and around the world, under the theme of seizing the opportunities, outreach projections, and strategies for the future. Before beginning, I would like to share a little brief history about myself so that you can understand the context in which I give to you my projections and visions. These visions are things in which I have read and things that I have experienced and seen through my travels with the Board for Mission Services, as well as my travels prior to taking on this position in many capacities throughout the Senate. It is also a vision that has been shaped by my own history, by my own personal involvement with this church. I, like many of my colleagues, grew up in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, was raised in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, was under the pastoral tutorage and sponsorship of the former third vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the Reverend Dr. Joseph G. Lavallee, who I believe had a very unique view of ministry, one that was very much committed to mission and to the further expansion through recruitment of workers for that ministry. I believe that many of my ideas have been shaped by his influence and the way that I observed over the many years that I had as a member of his congregation, to observe how he was involved in mission and ministry throughout the congregation and throughout the church at large. Very early on, I did not have the opportunity to go to Lutheran schools. Most of them in my community were way out in the suburbs. and also had very high tuition. So prior to going to Concordia College Bronxville, all of my pre-college education was done in public schools. In fact, the first experience that I had in going to a predominantly white school was attending Concordia College Bronxville, New York, which I found very unique. While attending public schools, I felt that I was just another statistic, a black face in the classroom amid other black faces, one who not necessarily had any special gifts or talent. In fact, looking at me now, it would be hard to believe that even on the football team, I was the eighth largest. I mean, there were seven guys above me who were bigger than I, and at that time I was around 260 pounds as a tackle. We had one guy who was 310, who later on went to Grambling. So my experience in the black community in Philadelphia was one of just being just like anybody else. But upon arriving Concordia College, Bronxville, people began to look at me as a rarity. First being black, second being Lutheran, third being somewhat intelligent and gifted. In fact, I was very surprised to see that even though I knew of many intelligent, black, gifted Lutherans, that Bronxville, for some reason, hadn't experienced many of them. And so I found myself in a unique position as I began my studies on the campus. One of the first things that I made a covenant to myself was to better understand and learn about what it meant to be a part of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I knew what it meant to be a part of a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation, but I felt I had a lot to learn about what it meant to be a part of a church body that had over 2.7 million members. And one of the ways that I chose to learn about our church was to first understand its culture and its background. And I figured the best way to do that was to join the most popular club on campus, which was the German Club. The German Club was made up of roughly about 80 students who came from all walks of life. Many of them were first-generation Lutherans, who, as well as old Lutherans whose parents came from Germany. One of the first activities of the German Club was to participate in a very old and unique tradition known as Oktoberfest, where the class boarded trains and headed down to New York City to the upper section of Manhattan and had the opportunity to experience the wonderful joys of dancing, folk dancing, and watching people run around in leather underwear, which is known as Lederhosen. When I went with my class to attend this open house, this Oktoberfest, I decided that I was going to sit back and just observe and see what everybody did at this wonderful place that made them unique in this unique culture. But I wasn't necessarily given that opportunity immediately because I was asked a question as I was going through the line along with my classmates. They too were asked this question. The question that was given by the person at the door who greeted us in German were these words in English: young man, young woman, what part of Germany are you from or your family? As I heard him ask this question to my other classmates, I began to wonder, he is not going to ask me that question. I just know that his vision is at least 20/20, and he wouldn't dare ask me that question. But sure enough, he asked all my classmates, and they were eager to answer that they were from parts of Saxony or from Frankfurt or Hamburg or other parts of Germany. And it became my turn as I walked up to the front of the line. And he said, young man, in German, what part of Germany are you from? And without really thinking, I answered him, gee, Can't you tell? I'm from the Black Forest. His response back to me was, you know, people from the Black Forest are a little darker than the rest of us. I share that story because of the fact that when we talk about our opportunities to witness and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to the many thousands of black people in our community, the way in which we open that invitation is by helping them feel that they are a part of us. For truly, we believe that in Jesus Christ there is nor east or west, nor Greek or Jew, nor black or white, that our Lord invites each and every one of us into a very special relationship, no matter what our color, our economic background, our education, or our gender. But for some reason, our history has shown, as we have gone out to witness and to share that gospel as Lutherans, we tend not to invite people as people who have a culture, or people who have something to contribute, or people who we invite to welcome them and to make a contribution, but too many times we force them to assimilate into the predominant German, European, Northern European culture in order for us to be a part of that ministry. It's interesting that down through the years, even through our initial work in black ministry back in 1877, that one of the first criteria in order to share the gospel of Jesus Christ was to teach the newly free black slaves what it first meant to be a Christian and to understand the God-given heavenly language known as German. It is estimated that the first missionaries, or is told that the first missionaries, did a lot of training people or helping people understand the German culture as they witnessed and shared the beautiful story of Jesus Christ. I believe that the opportunities that we have for outreach today need to look at our model of how we witness and share that beautiful gospel. We have had limited success at best in the old model. That is, before we can help people understand their relationship to God, we first have to help them understand what it means to be German Lutheran Christians. I believe that our Lord has entrusted us with a special doctrine, a doctrine that is unique in all of Christendom, but one that is not so closely tied to the culture in which it was founded. I believe Martin Luther himself, when he put up his thesis, was making a bold statement to the church at large that if it is going to be effective in reaching and sharing that beautiful message of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it must be sensitive to the culture and to the language and to the customs in which it is going to be shared. For Martin Luther, the great reformer, the person who was himself the leader of the Protestant movement, spent time and hours translating the beautiful words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from the Greek, the Hebrew, and the Latin into the indigenous language of his people of Germany. He wrote hymns. He translated the Latin Mass into the German Mass, not for us as Lutherans to hold up forever and ever as being the last word in worship or in doctrine, but I believe as a model to help us and to show us that if the words of Jesus Christ are going to be relevant to people, we must take seriously the culture in which we are presenting that message to. In seizing the opportunities to do mission and ministry, we need to take very seriously the culture in which we are working in. We need to look at that, to use what is usable, to modify what can be modified, to make relevant the words of Jesus Christ so that they can be heard in all its truth and purity, within the cultural, contextual context of the people in which we are serving. My outreach projections are based on this model. I believe if we are going to make any great strides in sharing this message in the Black community, we must take seriously the culture and the context in which we are sharing that beautiful message to. My outreach projections, therefore, I believe, are very optimistic, because I believe in looking at the statistics that have been produced by our church and other major denominations, even secular organizations, say that the world is desperately crying out for a church to share and witness that beautiful message of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are truly thousands and thousands of people in the Black community that, yes, do feel that they have a relationship with God, that feel that they are not a heathenistic people, but a religious people, a people who have grown to love their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who have been taught by their family and their loved ones about the promises of that Lord, but presently feel that they are strangers, outsiders, people who are looking out, looking into a church that doesn't care and is not concerned about their needs and their wants. My projections are based on the fact that there is an audience out there that is desperately looking for ways in which they can be a part of a community, a sharing community, a community that is concerned about the needs and desires of all people who are oppressed and who are forgotten. I believe that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, through its outreach programs and through its other programs, have something very special to share with the Blacks and many other ethnic communities of our church. But that we need to again take seriously the audience in which we are sharing. Too many times we have witnessed to other denominations who don't take that seriously and have failed miserably as they go out and share that beautiful story. One of the statistics that I want to share with you at this time is the fact that our research and statistical department, under the leadership of John O'Hara, who will be speaking to us tomorrow, has done for us a revived estimate of the number of Black and Hispanic and other Asian, other ethnic membership within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Prior to this study, it was estimated by most of us in our office or in the Senate that we had approximately 88,000 Black Lutherans in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. In fact, a brochure that I have bought, which has now been updated, kind of uses that statistic. We at one time thought that there were approximately 125,000 Lutherans in the United States, of which 88,000 were found in the Missouri Synod. Even though that seems to be a good figure, it really makes us look like dwarfs compared to other Black denominations. For example, the National Baptist Convention, or the United Methodist, or even the Roman Catholics, which estimates that there are approximately 2.5 million Black Catholics in North America. Baptist is estimated as over 10 million Black Baptists in North America. So 88,000 is not really a number to brag about, but it even has gotten worse since this statistical study has been released to show that we're not even at that point. At best, we could probably say that we have anywhere from 46 to roughly 50,000 total baptized and confirmed members in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod who are Black. The statistic is even that much worse for the Hispanic membership, which presently rates less than 8,000 communicant and baptized members. I believe that we can do much better than that. I believe that the school population statistics alone show us that we have an opportunity to witness and to share that gospel of Jesus Christ to the children who are presently involved in our Christian education programs in our high schools, elementary, and even our colleges. That too many times we, through neglect, through apathy, through figuring that someone else is doing the job, do not take advantage of the opportunities that the Lord presently gives to us to witness and to share that beautiful story. If you're interested in looking at the entire report, it is available in the back on the book table. I bought about 75 copies since it's about 100 and some odd pages. So if you would like to take one, feel free to do so. If we run out, let me know and I will be happy to have some duplicated and brought here tomorrow for your perusal and education. One of the other statements that is a part of this document that is very important for us to realize is the fact that it is estimated that approximately 49% of Black America does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and is not involved, and I use that together, and not involved in an ongoing Christian congregation. Because even though the percentage of people that the report pointed out feel that they do know Jesus, at the present time they feel that they are not able or wanting or desirous of joining any Christian congregation. And one of the main reasons that they give to the study that was done by the Lewis Harris Poll Organization, or excuse me, the Gallup Organization, was the fact that most churches, from their perception, are concerned not about the issues that the Lord is concerned about. And they quote a lot of scripture by saying, you know, the Lord was concerned about the issues in relationship to the poor, to the hungry, to the naked, to those who are in prison, to those who cannot defend for themselves, but are more concerned about the issues of survival for the organization and not for the people whom they are serving. For they feel that social justice, social action, of incorporating the gospel to meet the needs and the desires of people who are not all well off is not a high priority of many churches, even in the ghettos themselves. For many of them challenge the church to say, if a pastor can drive around in a Cadillac and his members are walking or taking the bus to church, is that necessarily the gospel of Jesus Christ in its full fruition? It's a lot like that country and western song that I remember hearing once. Would Jesus Christ be caught wearing a Rolex watch? The question of our materialism, the question of our priorities are being challenged by the people who are on the outside looking in and are asking the question, why should I belong to an organization that is not implementing its strategies, its gospel, its good news that it says that it proclaims in all that it does and says? I believe as Lutherans that indictment also falls on us, because the Lord has blessed us with many beautiful opportunities and gifts that are now available to the community. For example, our Lutheran education system. It is probably no one Protestant system better than ours. It is a system that has been in existence and has been entrusted to the church and has been used to the glory of God for over 100 years. It is a system that heretofore has not been used as a mission arm of the church, but one of maintenance. I say this because of the fact I have witnessed too many congregations who have decided to close their schools when it became an opportunity for them to extend that mission arm to the community because there were not, quote unquote, enough of the present children of the congregation enrolled. They felt it wasn't important enough to keep open. I believe that the gospel through our education system that is being shared is not just for our own children, but as a means that we can share the faith to those who do not know him. And what better opportunity do we have than through our Christian education system? because for at least 5 to 7 hours a day, 5 days a week, we have the opportunity to help train, shape, direct, give influence, and encouragement to people at their very early ages of life. We can help shape their direction not only for the church, but also for this society. What better way than through our own schools could we help shape the future of not only white students, but all students, black, white, Hispanic, and Asian, all of God's children, to understand the opportunities and the gifts that have been given to them through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to really make a difference, to really make a contribution, not only to the Church of Jesus Christ, but to the world at large. I believe that our Lutheran schools and the mission opportunities that we have through them are one of the primary ways in which we can help witness and to share and to expand our mission and ministry. To not use this gift is truly, truly a tragedy on the gospel itself. I believe also that our projections and strategies for outreach need to take seriously other opportunities of mission and ministry that the Lord provides us in the church at large. One of them being our social ministry agencies. They are presently not only doing work for our own constituency, but also are more and more taking on government and city and state contracts to do work that is not presently being done by other organizations. Yes, I understand the legal ramifications of the separation of church and state. However, the love of our Lord can transcend even those legal obligations. I believe, again, we as a church have a great opportunity to truly make a difference, to truly go into areas that right now are desperately crying out for assistance, such as strengthening the family, to give assistance to help teenagers deal with the many pressures of drugs, alcohol, abusiveness, and teenage pregnancy. I believe through our social ministry agencies of our church, we can find a new way, a linkage in which we can again help truly put the embodiment of Christ to action, to truly not only share the words of love, but also to be able to communicate that through our actions as we witness to that gospel in which we hold so dear. There are many other projections and strategies that I feel would be appropriate, but at this time I would like to focus on one basic question. The question that I believe all of us need to ask, number one, is, do we feel that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through the Great Commission and throughout all of Scripture, is calling us to witness and share that love of Jesus? Do we believe that God has entrusted to the church, and only the church, the opportunity to help win souls for his kingdom? Do we take seriously the words where it says, go ye therefore into every nation, to every creature, baptizing and invoking the words of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them all that I have commanded you? I believe that we as a church need to really examine that Great Commission, because our action over the past years have not necessarily given credit to the opportunity and the directions in which our Lord has challenged the church. Just looking at the last convention, Dr. Dickinson can probably know better, but I believe he has quoted as saying that there were only 2 resolutions dealing with the outreach question in black ministry. Now, of the present 260 to 350 congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, for 2 of them to take the opportunity to write a resolution concerning outreach and ethnic ministry, to me says that we who know our Lord and Savior, that are involved in black ministry, are not challenging in doing all that we can in order to help our church understand the great opportunities it has right now to go out and witness and share that beautiful gospel. For I believe that we can't really look to other people, to other organizations, to other folks, unless we ourselves are willing and committed to challenge the structure to the fullest. How many of you, for this convention that will be meeting in Wichita, took the time to draft one resolution or to ask the Senate to do something on behalf of black ministry and outreach? How many times have you taken the opportunity through the circuit forums or district conventions to raise the concerns of black ministry and outreach to your constituency? If we, the people who are truly on the front lines, if you, the members who are presently truly in the harvest, are not willing to challenge and to use a structure that has been provided for you, why expect help from folks who are further away? It's no wonder that the church has not placed a high priority in all these things, because we have not done what we said we were going to do. I hate to tell you the number of resolutions that have been passed by our own Black Ministry Commission, in which we made promise after promise and covenant after covenant to ourselves to do many things, from recruitment to support of scholarships, to help our church develop strategies for expansion of black ministry and other ministries of our church, in which they have been just like regular synodical resolutions. Before the ink is dry, they are forgotten, and the agenda continues to go on without any other thought. I believe that whatever strategies or projections we make need to start with our own congregations and with our own people. We need to ask ourselves, are we involved in mission and ministry to allow our facilities, our churches, to be used to the sharing and to the glory of God? Or are we keeping them up for just museum's sake? To have a place in which people can come and have their children baptized, to be married, to be buried, but no other function for future outreach or growth. I believe many of these problems are with our own first, and we need to ask these questions before we challenge the church at large to give us assistance and to help. As I look at many of the writers and books that have been written, there are a couple that I want to point out to you. The first one is written by Lyle Schuyler, which Pastor Thomas referred to yesterday. It's A Different World. It's available in the back. It's a book that I commend to all of you to read if you have not read it, because Lyle very nicely and very forcefully reminds us that the world that we live in today, particularly in North America, is quite different than it was 15 and 20 years ago. That we need to look at the gospel message and to the people whom we're sharing, that the concerns and the issues are different, that the people and their circumstances are different, but yet they are sinful people. They need to hear the saving words of our gospel, and they need to be found and to find ways in which they can share and to be a part of the family of God. But we need to change the ways in which we do that. Not to change the gospel, but to change the means and the ways in which we share that gospel to that community. It is a book that I feel has great significance not only for Protestantism, but particularly for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Another book I would recommend to you for your reading is written by our speaker for tomorrow, Emmanuel L. McCall. It's entitled The Black Church Lifestyles, Recovering the Black Christian Experience. We need to realize that the black church in the black community is very important, not only for the spiritual well-being, but also for the total well-being of the community. It is truly unrealistic to realize or to believe that if we are in the black community, and if we're not concerned about non-spiritual issues, then we're not really doing a service to the people in that community. Because the black people in that community over the years, through tradition and history, have expected the church to be leaders, not followers, leaders in the causes that are important in that community. If it was not for the church, I believe that we would not have been able to achieve the strides that we have made in civil rights. And because of the lack of concern of the church, I believe that we are seeing that erode throughout the laws and the legislation that is presently being proposed and passed. It is truly through the Church of Jesus Christ that black people not only feel that they can receive their spiritual uplifting and blessings and come to a greater knowledge of our Lord, but it is also a place where they can put those principles, those issues, into practice. I believe that the problems that we face in many of our black communities, of drugs, of alcohol, of crime, of gangs, happen because, or direct correlation can be placed on the fact that our churches are not reaching out and helping people in those needs. I go through communities all throughout this United States, and I'm amazed to see the number of churches that are just open on Sunday morning. Maybe a few of them may have evening prayer services that are being attracted by the old and the elderly who feel that they can come out. But for the most part, our churches are a part-time ministry, serving the needs of a selective few and only trying to replenish what they lose, and not trying to reach the thousands of people in their communities that are seeking answers and are finding those answers in non-Christian places. One of the fastest growing movements in the black community is the Muslim movement. Muslim movement is not something that is very attractive initially to the black community because in many ways, even though it has Christian elements, it is not Christian Christ-centered. However, its attractiveness and is accepted by many black people in the community is because that whatever they believe, even though it is not exactly 100% Christian, at least they are following what they believe. I just look at many communities in which these mosques, these people who have come together, have found that they have found a ripe audience because not only do they practice what they preach, but they're willing to put into practice not only for their own, but for the community at large. In cities as Washington, D.C., and Brooklyn, New York, it is not the police, not the government, not the city that is protecting the interests and the people of that community, but it's these black Muslims that are putting into practice and helping to alleviate the bad and negative influences that have reached their community and are doing it not just for their own, but for the total community. I think it's a shame that when we talk about the Christian church, Lord, who has beckoned us to reach out to people who are lost, that again, we are not solutions to the problem, but are part of the problem and are complaining to other resources and other individuals to help us find a way. We need to seriously come up with programs that will challenge the influence or realize in a very short period of time that we will not have an audience that will take us seriously. Another factor that we need to take seriously that we have long neglected is media in general. We need to realize that, again, other non-100% Christian organizations are using media and are being very successful with what I call basic Christian messages. For example, this morning and last night, I had the opportunity both on radio and on television to hear two announcements that were sponsored by the Church of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons. I'm sure you have heard those commercials too, in which they talk about, when was the last time you told your wife that you loved her? Or the other commercial dealt with a little boy who was ready to tell his mother a lie, and all of a sudden this song and dance group comes out talking about how lying will get you into trouble, and you could tell one lie, you have to tell another and another and another, and finally confesses to his mother that he didn't mean to tell a lie, that he was going to do something else when he was planning, or he was doing something else than what he had originally planned. I think it's a shame to see these type of organizations being able to have that airway, not that they're sharing the message, but the fact that Christians didn't think of it first. I mean, we in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod have been blessed with the gift of Lutheran television. This Is the Life, which is no longer in production, but is still being produced and seen, or rather being seen throughout the country. In fact, it's still in the top 10 of religious programming in North America compared to U.S. News Today. I couldn't believe that when I saw that in the paper. That, you know, Robert Schuller, I believe, was number one, you know, and all these, Frederick Price was up there and all these other televangelists, but the Lutheran Hour in reruns was still being seen by more households and still in the top 10 than compared to other, you know, people and organizations, even Oral Roberts. You know, it's amazing to see even that power is still prevalent today. I believe that the Lord has given us some gifts and some challenges that we need to use in sharing and communicating the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people in our communities. Black radio, behind country western radio, is the most organized media in the United States. I believe that if we package a program, we could reach the untapped resources of the people, as well as to communicate our message in such a way that will be acceptable and well received. To use media becomes a very important aspect of how we communicate the gospel message, because without it, we will lose thousands and thousands of opportunities to witness and to share that beautiful message. In conclusion, I believe that the Lord has given us great opportunities, great challenges, has given us gifts such as media, such as our schools, such as our social ministry agencies, as well as many other opportunities to witness and to share that gospel to the many thousands of people who are in our own communities who do not know Him. If we do not do that, not only on the behalf of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, but also for our own church body, I believe in a very short period of time, there will be no Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. That people will be referring to us in history books and saying, I wonder what happened to that doctrinally conservative, Bible-believing group of folks. I would hate to think just because of the fact that we couldn't package and use that gospel to the culture, to the people whom God has placed in these shores, in ever-increasing numbers, by the way. Presently, black folks number about 29 million. By the year 2080, that will be in excess of over 56, 57 million. Hispanics, which are right now 16, 17 million, by that same year will be more than us, about 58, 59 million, while the white population will continue to shrink and decrease. I believe that we need to find new ways to help our church realize that we are a church that have a message that desperately needs to be shared. We need to package it in such a way that becomes relevant, helpful, useful, to the black and other ethnic communities of North America. If we do not respond to that challenge, I believe that in a very short period of time, the last person out who leaves the church, all I ask is to please turn out the lights. Thank you. Open for questions or comments to what I had to say, or any issues that you would like to disagree with. please use the microphones so we can all can hear your questions or comments. Please identify yourself so we all know who you are.
All right, my name is Marie Snyder, and I'm a graduate student here. And my question is, what are the practical suggestions that you would have to tailor our message without losing sight of the gospel?
In foreign mission work, the practice has been for many years that before that individual does the job in which the Lord has called him in the church to share and communicate that message, that he understands the culture, the circumstances of the people whom he is to share that message with. The first thing that we need to do is have people trained in the culture in which they have been called to share that message. I think the tragedy in our church body is we in North America feel that once a seminary graduate leaves this hall or leaves this seminary campus or any other campus, they are equipped to deal in any other subculture or culture in North America or for that matter the world. We've learned very quickly that that's not applicable in world missions. We need to use those same standards here in North America. The first thing is understand the culture. The second thing is to take those elements of the culture that are usable, that will help show our message to the point that we want to make our point in such a way that it, without necessarily, I guess what I'm trying to say is, we need to use those elements of the culture that will help our message grow and downplay the ones that will not.